When we left off, coming back to before Huggy Break, and we talked about one of the ways that the Holy Spirit manifested himself in the temple, and when everyone was praising and worshiping at that time, but what they were saying, and it says cymbals and instruments of music. I won't say anything about that. Some places don't allow that either, but we do. And if you got an instrument, a tambourine, or clapping your hands, or dancing, or shouting, who can put a limit on that? You know, but you know that's what it takes sometimes to get your breakthrough. You got to get out of your comfy zone. If you want a breakthrough, you got to do something to make that way possible into your life, to give the Holy Spirit free reign. And whatever it takes. Right, Priscilla?
Amen.
Amen. But they were singing, "For he is good, and his mercy endures forever." And I seem to remember those words were just in one of the songs we sang. I didn't know that was going to happen. Here it is again. And the house was filled with a cloud. It's still here. It didn't lift. And now we're going to make an amazing discovery that you're all familiar with. The Holy Spirit moved from outside to the inside under the new covenant. And John, the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke about that very thing in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. And here's the promise fulfilled. All the way back in the wilderness, the Lord promised that he would never leave them nor forsake them. The pillar of cloud by day, so they could see that he was always present. The pillar of fire by night that he was leading them by. He never abandoned them. He never left them. They got into doing their own thing and paid a price for it. Some of them died in the wilderness. They never entered the promised land, because they didn't want to follow him. It costs too much. I hope none of us ever gets to that place where it costs us too much to follow him. I remember a wise businessman from Springfield. One of his favorite sayings to me, he said, "Rick, there's 168 hours in every week. Use them wisely." And people who say, "I could never go to Renewed Life because your church service is too long," my flesh wants to say, there's 168 hours in every week. Is giving God 2 hours too much to ask? I just said it. I got bold and said it. That's why they're not here. So many people have come and said, "It's too long. We got the most comfortable chairs in town. We got a porta potty right around the corner in there. We're cool. We got all the stuff for your comfort. And if you're tired, flop over and take a nap. We'll wake you up when it's over. But don't leave because of the time." There was a time for the Holy Spirit, and the people had time for the Spirit. Gospel of John. First off, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There were only two. Actually, it came down to one, but Jesus brought the second one. And so there were only two. Like God said, "Can I make it any easier for you? I used to have 613, and now I only have two. Can you do those? Can you say yes, amen?" What's that?
"Not without him, we can't."
No. No, we can't. No. But we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our strength. And then he said, in the same manner that he loved us, we're to love others And that was the other commandment. That was the new commandment he gave us. And so, but then he said, and I will pray the Father. Imagine Jesus prays for you. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Abide means to dwell in, to live in, to remain attached to. He was not talking about Casper the friendly ghost who comes and goes as he feels like it. He was talking about the Holy Spirit who will never leave us, that he will be with us forever. I don't know how long forever is, but I imagine it's a pretty long time. Even the Spirit of Truth, what an advantage is that to us now? The Spirit of Truth that we know, we can look around us and discern the times we live in and know what's true and what is not. How valuable that is. Whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. It's all about touch, see, feel. Oh, don't hurt my feelings. If I feel good, must be the Holy Spirit's here. If I feel crappy, that must mean he stayed home that day. No, it has nothing to do with that. Jesus, it's his promised coming. But the world can't receive him because they can't see him. It's all about the five physical senses. We have to live in the realm of the Spirit. Our five physical senses are valuable. I mean, if you step on a nail, praise God you can feel it so you can go get the hole patched. You know, whatever, but we're not to be moved by those things and led by them. We have an inner witness. We have that inner cloud. We have that inner pillar of fire now. It's abiding on the inside of us. Do you know where the Holy of Holies is in your life? Tell me somebody. In your heart. That's the Holy of Holies, where God's Spirit dwells. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're patterned after the temple that was made by hands. God made us in the image of that temple and filled us with his Spirit. Amen. That's a beautiful revelation of the real you. Paul called the inner man, the real you, the Spirit that abides forever. Who does it abide with? Him. Like this. And he says, the world can't receive it because it sees him not and neither knows him. But you know him. You know him. For he dwells with you. But then here's the promise. And shall be in you. At the time Jesus spoke to his disciples about his the cross coming, he told them that the Spirit was with them. He led them and guided them. But he wasn't in them yet until they were born again. That comes in John chapter 20. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And that's when they got born again. Then he told them, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued from on high. Step two, you get the Spirit, then you get the baptism of the Spirit. And it's very clear what he promised us. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Because in the gist of their conversation, now Jesus had finally told them why he really came, and it wouldn't be long, and he'd be on that cross and would ascend to heaven. And they were beginning to wonder, well, who's going to be with us when you're gone? We're going to miss you. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you without a helper, without a standby, without an advocate, without a counselor, without a guide. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't just go off back to heaven and just leave you guys floundering. I'm sending one. But he won't come until I've gone to my Father, and my Father will send him to you. The promise of the Spirit to indwell us. And so this progression from the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is now encased in you. Jesus said, I will come to you. But he was speaking, of course, of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're almost done, so hang in there a few more minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. But then, of course, I added 14. Because I want to maintain the flow of the context of this portion that Paul wrote. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, truthfully, we're not anymore. Unbelievers do not have the Holy Spirit yet. They've not made Jesus Lord of their lives yet. But we have. And so we're not yoked with non-believers. I know this is good counsel for those of us that do weddings. I would rather marry two non-believers than to marry a believer to a non-believer. Because at least two non-believers are equally yoked and I have access to their lives. But I would not marry a believer to a non-believer. I would refuse to do that wedding because it's like this all the time. The spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. One of you is a spirit man, the other one's a flesh person. And they're never going to mix. They'll never gel. They may put up with each other, but it's never going to be the same as two believers coming together. And I bowl at the bowling alley with a lot of non-believers, but I'm not yoked to them. I go there because I have opportunities to be an encouragement, and some of them I prayed for and they don't even know I prayed for them. One in particular was the priest. But he knew that and God gave him 3 strikes in a row. Now, he's on his own now. He knows God's real. And so he says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, they don't mix. You know, and as we grow in the Lord, you have to come to realize and believe that God has declared you righteous. And he said, you are holy. Let those words sink in. I just repeated what God said. I'm in agreement with him. We don't have to try to be something. God said we already are that something. So my counsel would be, quit trying, just be. You're wasting your time. You could just put it to good use by just accepting you for how God says you are. You're righteous. You're holy. Get over it. Enjoy it. Because the fullness of your life won't happen until you come into agreement with what your Father has done for you. That's who you are now. And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord, or what have we to do with the devil anymore? He's defeated. He's under his feet. And you know what's really cool about this? He can't be everywhere at the same time. So when somebody comes to me and they're talking about how the devil is beating them up, and I say, well, I heard he was in Ethiopia today. How can he be beating you up? And besides that, he's under your feet. He was cursed by God to crawl on his belly in the dust of the earth. Please, please write Jesus on the bottom of your shoes to remind him. Amen? I'll use that line until I can't breathe to say it anymore. But this is the new you. Now, here we go. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He's talking about you and me. You're now the temple, not made with hands, but made by God, supernaturally. The Holy Spirit. And why would the Holy Spirit come to us if we weren't holy? How did we get holy? By the blood of Jesus Christ, by receiving the benefits of his sacrifice on the cross. Washed in the blood, the sins have been removed and the sin nature has been put to death. And no, it does not sit up in the casket. It can't. Paul said he's dead. We have our flesh and we have our mind and our 5 physical senses. And we can recreate him if you want to, but I choose not to most of the time. I don't find a lot of the old man, if you will, that I want to imitate anymore. And neither should any of us. This is a promise that's life-changing, and all the time that we have left to live our lives for Him, these truths are phenomenal, and they're worth grasping onto like your last breath depends on it. Actually, your first breath depends on it. And look at what he said, for you are the temple of the living God. Could we read that out? If somebody got a nice loud voice, would like to read that? I have a microphone, but would somebody like to read that? We are the temple of the living God. Are there any takers in the house? Nobody wants to read that? John?
We are the temple of the living God.
Who are we?
The temple of the living God.
What are we?
I think we need some more people to repeat this.
I think so. There needs to be an echo in the house. Amen. And let that just settle. All of that stuff from the time of the wilderness, God was with them. The Spirit was there to lead them from the outside, daytime and nighttime. Our life is now patterned after that heavenly temple in earthen form, if you will. We talked about the earthen vessel, this treasure, this in earthen vessels. We're made of dirt, so don't think you're higher than anybody else. We're all dirt, all made from the same stuff. So don't get too proud now, you know. Somebody told me on the phone, don't get a big head. And I said, if I did, the two doors open up so I can get in. But these things are awesome. They're life-changing. You can teach this stuff to your kids and it'll work. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Does that say the same thing in your Bible?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it does? Okay. Then we're all set. Next verse. Wherefore come out from among them. When we come to Christ, there's a death that takes place. It's the old man. The old sin nature was put to death. You know, we had that discussion at Bible study one night. It's too late. He's dead. We may have habits. Our flesh hasn't been completely brought under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're moved by our physical senses, but it doesn't change. You died. The day Jesus Christ came into your life, the old you died. See that banner over there? That will forever be here until the house falls down. And then it'll be in the dust. You're a new creation. What do you think he meant by that? Do you think God was stuttering? He was looking for the right words to say until he came, oh, I think I'll try that one. That's pretty simple. When you know who you are in him and who he is in you, oh, how helpful that is. Like you said, we can't even love without the Spirit. We can dibble-dabble around the edges a little bit, but it takes the power of the Spirit. And he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And Paul was quoting that from the Old Testament covenant that God was going to make with his people, which eventually became the new covenant. And last one, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. And before I read it, I mean, I know it's probably en route to the screen, and en route, we've probably already found it because it's not far from where we were. How many of you, and it's okay to say yes to this question. It's not a loaded question. I mean, it could be, but it isn't. It won't blow up. That's a loaded question. How many of you like chocolate covered almonds or chocolate covered face lasers? Yeah, anybody else like those? Okay, so if you take that chocolate and you heat it up, what happens to it? And then what's left? The what?
The nut.
All right. Paul says this, for we know that if our earthly house, our earth suits, of this tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, were dissolved. In other words, if our flesh just dissolved, like that chocolate, and that nut remained, this is what remains in you. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's the fulfillment of God's promise to never leave us, never forsake us. The Holy Spirit is a down payment, and He gives us just enough of heaven in this life to make us want to go there. But that's what's inside of each one of you as a believer. That temple, you can't see it with your physical eyes. We see the earth suit that encloses it. But if you were dissolved, just like that chocolate, that's what would remain, the real you inside. Let that shine. Let that set in this week. Think about that during the week. Come back to that scripture and meditate on it a little more and see how encouraging it will bring you to that very beautiful place of where we're just one step short of heaven. People go there all the time. They love it.
Very encouraging. We're all nuts.
I found it.
Would any of you nuts like cracking today? A little prayer going on?
Oh, my. Terry came last Sunday during testimony time. She publicly said, as soon as she came in, she was just so caught up in the presence of the Holy Spirit in here. And she was really even almost teary-eyed, weeping about how just suddenly, as she came in, she was so aware of that. And it prompted me. I got thinking about that. What does it feel like? Because I didn't mean that. Internally I was thinking this, because we over the years have experienced His presence, and every week it shows how He connects different testimonies or verses of scripture or a song or things that people say all come together, and it's kind of like we're getting familiar with how the Holy Spirit works among us. And so we come with an expectation that He will continue to do those things. But it's interesting how she said that and hasn't been here in more than 30 years. And for her just to walk in and be so aware of that, and we hadn't even hardly started yet. And that put me on a search about His presence and how He makes Himself known. And so I have 7 verses of scripture dealing with that, Old Covenant, New Covenant. And there's just literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, but I knew one of them for certainty, and the others are window dressing to go with it, if you will. So the first one is Exodus chapter 13. That's where we'll start with, Exodus chapter 13. Angie, did you have a chance to put all those down? Oh, good, thank you. And this is as the Israelites are wandering around in the wilderness, seeming to be aimless in where they were going, got into murmuring and complaining, and they didn't like the food God gave them, and, you know, just complaining and murmuring. And probably thought Moses had been out in the desert too long, his brain was baked, and why should we follow him? He doesn't even know what he's talking about and all of that. But it was interesting how God showed them that he was with them, and he was the one that mattered the most. And Exodus 13, 20 and 21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." And even going all the way back, that far back in history, you see how God, by his Holy Spirit, was leading his people, even in a wilderness, in a dry place, in a place they'd never been before, totally unfamiliar, and yet the Spirit of God was leading them. And how he, and this is a really important distinction. The next verse, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." He never withheld his Spirit from them. And that's really important, that for this distinction, because in the Old Covenant, God led from the outside. That's very different now. The New Covenant, God leads us from the inside, because now we're the house of the Spirit. And we're going to talk a little more about that, about this time. The Holy Spirit led God's people in and through the wilderness from the outside in a pillar of cloud by day, so they had something tangible that they could see. In New Testament, we shouldn't be focus so much on what we see with our eyes, but focusing on what we now know by faith. If you want to follow the Spirit, you're going to have to look inward. And his voice is inward. And his promised presence, that he would not leave them nor forsake them. And that was the promise, that he did not withhold his Spirit. He did not withhold his presence from them, even in their murmuring, even in their complaining. And they got tired of manna, so he gave them quail. I never had quail before, but I know lots of people that go quail hunting, and they're pretty tasty critters after you take the feathers off them. Those go, you know, they probably did that too. I don't know. They want to complain. But he just continued to provide his presence. And how important that is, that we're so aware that we don't have to make irrational decisions on ourselves or concerning ourselves about life anymore. We have the inner witness. Paul called him the inner witness. It's the presence of his Spirit outwardly under the old covenant, inwardly under the new. And then the next ones, this was very interesting. We see God's presence in the wilderness with the people. God's presence in a building made with human hands. The tabernacle. Even before the temple, the tabernacle. Exodus 33, verses 8 through 11. Look at what happened when they gathered together in the tabernacle. And this was so relevant to us, as it should be. Exodus 33, verses 8 through 11, Moses in the tabernacle. And so this is something that I don't know if I've seen this often, but I have. "And it came to pass..." Everybody got it already? You all set? Okay. "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses, and he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. There was such a strong presence that Joshua didn't want to leave. And the fact that the same cloud, the same pillar that led the Israelites in the wilderness, also was in the tabernacle, and God revealed himself in that pillar of cloud. And it was such a presence that you could see the cloud. The others were meeting in their own tents. I know that a lot of them just had their own little tents, but the tabernacle was an early replica, if you will, of the temple in heaven. The tabernacle in heaven, where Jesus applied his blood on the Holy of Holies behind the veil. And how attentive God was to come with them when they fellowshiped, come with him when they praised and worshiped and honored him. And he loves that. God loves to fellowship with us by his Spirit. And then, another instance, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Solomon's temple and placed in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place behind the veil in Solomon's temple. Once again, this is patterned after the heavenly temple. If you read the instructions God gave them how to build it, all the details, it's like the temple in heaven. And so the priests would go in and offer the blood, the sacrificial blood of the male lamb, on behind the veil. And that's just like Jesus. We talked about that at one of the communion services, how Jesus, as our high priest, applied his blood. But here we have an example. And it came to pass, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. Okay, very good. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Before it was the doorway of the tabernacle, now it's the house. His presence filled the house, that cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. That's a very powerful statement when you think of the power of even just the presence that the Spirit has. Some people are more sensitive, perhaps, than others. Some are more discerning than others. Some might come and not feel anything, may not see anything, but it doesn't change the fact that he's present by his Spirit. And so only twice have I seen something here similar. And it was like a mist, like a lavender color. And I thought I was seeing things because I could still see everybody, but there was something different. It was like it just kind of just came down like that. And it's like it rested on everybody's heads. It didn't shroud like a fog so that you couldn't see people. But there was a lavender mist that just descended on this whole room. And in all the years we've been here, that I've seen twice. Same color, both times. I don't know what that color means, lavender. I don't know if that's... I know a lot of people are into numbers and colors and all that biblically. Anybody have any revelation about that? Is lavender maybe royalty or something like that? Purple, yes? Okay. And that that I've seen. And we've also seen, well, I don't want to use the word seen in a wrong way. I don't mean physically sometimes see something, because generally what we see isn't always what's going on if we look just in our natural. But when you know that the Spirit of the Lord is here, He makes His presence known. And then I have one more, and then we'll stop, and we'll do the rest a little bit later. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. And when we read these, and I always like to read them together, because it's good that we do this, because think of all the times, and maybe not always here, but other places maybe you've been, meetings, gatherings, maybe a former fellowship or whatever, during praise and worship. People have testified of being healed and no one laid hands on them. No one prayed for them. They were in God's presence. And the Spirit of the Lord was so strong that people openly testified, I came in with a horrible headache. And all while I was here, it lifted during praise and worship. Or maybe an attitude change. No, all kinds of things happened during that time. But here, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals, I like cymbals, and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest, once again, now I don't know if this was written twice, but I found it twice. One was in the tabernacle, and this one is in Solomon's temple. So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And we've been studying the Holy Spirit for more than a year at our Wednesday night Bible studies, and some of you have come from the beginning all the way to near the end of that. And the things that we learned about the Holy Spirit is just phenomenal. But to see how even under the Old Covenant and what the Holy Spirit did when people gathered together with a oneness of heart and unity, that's why I always like the way we pray. It's not fancy. It's not religious. It's just real. We come together because we know that we're called to do that. And we know that God is blessed by us. He's here before we even get here. And to be able to enter into His presence, all of us collectively, we just lay aside everything else that's going on and we focus on Him. Wonderful things happen when we're of one mind and one accord. As you remember the upper room experience in the New Covenant, it's very similar to that. But His presence was so strong, so powerful, that the priests couldn't stand to minister. I know a few times I've left, and people come after service, and they ask me questions, and it's like I'm in a fog of some kind. I don't even know what they're talking about, and I don't even remember what they said, and I don't remember what I said for an answer. And sometimes I know I've gone home too soon. I shouldn't drive yet. And so it's similar. It's all I can relate to. But have you experienced His powerful presence like that at times during praise and worship, and you just hope it never ends? And you just want to stay in that place. And it's so neat that the God who created everything and all of creation think how vast the universe is. And scientists are always so excited when they discover a new solar system or a new constellation of stars, stars that the light left 1,000 light years in the past. They're so distant that the light is just now being discovered by telescopes, the Hubble telescope and others, telescopes that are in space now, so the atmosphere doesn't blur what you see, because there's no atmosphere once you get above 30,000 feet. Very thin. And they're just discovering things that God created. So time, I don't know how many years, centuries, thousands of years possibly, and the light is just now reaching Earth. And light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Did you know it takes, from the sunrise, it takes 8 minutes for the first light beams from the sun to reach the Earth. That's how far the sun is away from Earth. It takes 8 minutes for that light to reach us at 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. And the vastness of God's creation, and yet, when we come together, He chooses to be here with us. It's like, why would He want to spend time with us? Look at all He's attending to. And yet, each one of us is in His heart, and He cares, and He loves you, and He's merciful and compassionate. And I like what they were singing, what they were saying, that His mercies, God is good, and His mercy endures forever. If you can't think of anything else to be thankful for, think about those things, because that's what got His attention, wasn't it? It was what they said, what they were doing, why they came together. And that really touches His heart. It's faithfulness. It's just being real and just being you. And with the same diligence that He created all of the universe, He put into you and me. And that's the God that is so awesome and yet so personal. And that was a couple of the things I wanted to bring out of this, is for us to realize that. Yep, some people are, we call it slain in the spirit. And for, we've had visitors that came here and they saw people fall down on the floor if we didn't have a catcher. And there was a period of time when I've seen a lot of things go through the body of Christ over the years. The laughter, the holy laughter. And just different manifestations of the Spirit, but He always found a way to make His presence known. But the slain in the Spirit phrase, what do you tell someone who's never experienced such things? There's two places in the Scriptures, one of them we just read. The other was in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus, and 600 Roman soldiers fell to the ground as though they were dead. The power of God was so present when Jesus said, I am He. Glory. He is the I am. And when He spoke those words, boom. And we need to be ready to answer people when, you know, because sometimes people have never experienced those things. Here, it's happened a lot. Not recently, but it's happened. And so when we have visitors come that have not been in churches where that's happened, sometimes it's a freak out moment for them. You're standing there all nice and all of a sudden you're laying on the floor. Duh, what happened? Well, some people are more sensitive to His presence than others and more willing to yield. It's almost like people are, when you lift your hands up in worship. Why? I've been asked from places where they're not, can you imagine going to church where you're not allowed to do that? I mean, I just, that's not in my thought processes of why would you be forbidden to raise your hands and worship the Lord? I don't understand that. Probably because I never was a part of that. I got saved and suddenly I was in this, the realm of the Spirit from the beginning. And a good example to be able to relate that to people is if you're going about your daily business and a thief comes into your house and he sticks a gun in your back and he says, stick him up. You know? What are you doing? You're yielding to the man with the gun. You're yielding your will to his. And so when you worship the Lord, you're yielding to his will. It's an act of relinquishing your will to honor our Father's will. And all the ways that God makes himself present. This is a worthy topic to talk about because a lot of us have experienced those things. But it happened a lot of years before we showed up, didn't it? And it's wonderful to go back thousands of years ago and just retrace. The Holy Spirit has always been the Holy Spirit, and he's always wanted to reveal his presence to his people.
Yeah. We just stand and praise him. He's worthy of all praise.
Yes, he is.
Amen, church?
Yes, he is.
Let's give him glory this morning. Hallelujah.
Father, we praise you. We thank you that you are goodness. Your mercy endures forever. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Kiala bakiara baba shitala mama makasitiki. Oh, Father. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. You're good. You're good all the time. Thank you, Father. Your mercy endures forever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your powerful presence in this place today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
Holy Spirit, what we're saying is you are welcome here. We've been saying it all morning.
Yes, sir.
You are welcome,
welcome
here.
In this place.
Thank you. We love you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Yes.
Not just here, but all places we go.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for the miracle of the new birth.
Yes, Lord.
Because now we're your temple. Not made with hands, but made by you. And your Holy Spirit dwells within us. The blood of Jesus has made us holy. The blood of Jesus has made us pure. And you have declared us righteous. And now you have a house that you're welcome to dwell in. Not just our building, our meeting house, but each one of us is a temple unto you. Cleansed and made clean by your precious blood. A home that you're welcome in, Father. That you never leave us nor forsake us. You're always present. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. You are so good. You're so amazing. So precious. So gracious. So kind. And it's to you, Father, we give our lives to. We recommit our lives today. Oh, Father, thank you that you search us. You search us by your Spirit if there's anything out of alignment, if we got a bad attitude, if we've offended anyone. Father, we repent and we ask your forgiveness. That our temple remains holy and unblemished. That you may use us in your kingdom, to further your kingdom, and that we may continue to be a blessing to each other because you've called us to give our lives to honor others more highly than ourselves. Father, thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord.
Oh. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Oh, he is all the time. You want to just go around and show each other his goodness? And be